I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Hear now the Word of God, Matthew 11, 2 through 19. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And they went away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. But to what will I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another? 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet Wyndham is vindicated by his deeds."
Thank you, Dr. Martin. Appreciate the reading. I've already had the title of this sermon questioned. I won't mention by whom. Deliverance, really? Trust me, it's going to work. There's a lot to unpack in this scripture, and we will begin our unpacking with John the Baptist. Here we have in verse 2 through 6, John sending his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the one to come. Or should we wait for another? Now, if this isn't confusing to you, it should be, because if we go back to chapter 3, verse 14, this is the same John the Baptist who said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you." Now, John the Baptist is asking questions. The question is, why does Matthew present this situation to us? Why the questioning of Jesus by John's disciples? Perhaps, and most likely, it's like this. I'm going to tell you a story, and I would like for you to listen very carefully, because I can assure you there's something very personal about this story, if not for me, for you. Have you ever been lost? When you were a child, did you ever get lost and away from your parents? See, this little boy, he cried out over and over, "Mom, where are you?" He was walking back and forth at the front of the store in front of the registers looking to see if his mom was checking out. He was lost and he couldn't find his mother. And the last time he had seen her, he was on an aisle that had fruit snacks. Well, he saw people with shopping carts. They were coming up. They were checking out. They had all kinds of things in their basket, but none of them were his mother. So he walked in front of each aisle. And he went to aisle one, and he looked down the aisle, and he sees some people shopping, no big deal, but not his mom. He goes to the second aisle, and he sees a bunch of teenagers there arguing over who's going to pay for what. But then he goes to aisle three, and he remembers aisle three because that's the one he came from that had the fruit snacks. That's where he lost his mother. So he looks, and he says, "Oh, you know, I don't know. I 1 minute I was there talking to my mother, the next minute she was gone." Finally, the little boy got another pain in his stomach. You ever had that when you just feel like, oh my gosh, this is getting worse and now my stomach's hurting? And the little boy's getting scared. It felt like bees were flying around in his stomach and they were trying to get out. So he started to cry a little bit. Mom, where are you? So then he went to aisle four. He looked down aisle four. No mother. So he began to think to himself, had she left him at the store all by himself? Had she decided he was too much trouble to feed? All he had asked was for some fruit snacks. Had she left the store to head home and forgot all about him? He felt sad, he felt scared, and he felt a little angry. Just as he reached aisle five, he noticed a man in a blue vest. You've seen those guys? I see them at Walmart, and they're wearing a blue vest, and that's how you know they work there. And you know, he silently walked up to this man, and he stood staring at him, and the man turned around, and he looked at the boy, and the man was putting cans of peas up on a shelf, which was another giveaway to the little boy, because he says most people are taking them off. This guy's putting them on. He's got to work here. So the little boy walked up to him, and just as he approached, the man looked down. And he said to the man stacking the cans, I think my mom left me at the store, or got abducted by aliens or something. The man looked down at the boy with one eyebrow arched. The little boy started to cry a little. His mom was gone, and he couldn't find her. Now, what makes you think that? He asked as he knelt down in the middle of the pallet of a can of peas. Well, the boy answered, I was looking at fruit snacks, and then she was gone. I asked her if we could get some, and then she was just gone. Well, the man in the blue vest slowly got up from his kneeling position. The boy heard him groan a little as he came to his feet, and he said, let's see if we can find her. Now, I'm relating this story a lot because I got lost more than once. When I was little, it seemed I never could follow my parents, and they were always looking for me and me for them. But the little boy said, we won't find her. I've looked all over the world, and she's just plain gone. Then he pointed back where he came from. She's not anywhere. The man took the little boy by the hand and headed towards aisle six. There were, in fact, 20 aisles in this grocery store. So he says, the man, what makes you think your mom left without you? He said, because I don't see her. Has she ever accidentally left you anywhere before? The man asked. No. Has she ever been abducted by aliens before? The man asked as they passed aisle seven. Not that I know of. So why would you doubt her now? I'm sure she is here and we just have to find her, the man said as he walked up to a small stand at aisle 10 where a tall man was standing with what looked like a giant radio hanging off his hip. He talks to the man for a minute. The guy gets on this radio that's hanging on his hip, and after a minute an announcement came over the store system and it crackled and garbled, and then he heard, boy lost, 10. Just as the announcement was blasting over the store, announcing to the world that his mother had left him to fend for himself with nothing but a box of fruit snacks to eat, his mother appeared with a full cart around the corner of aisle 15. His baby sister was bouncing up and down in the seat of the cart, sucking on a bottle and sporting a different outfit than she had on when they entered the store. Mom, the little boy cried out and sprinted down the four aisles to meet his mother. Mom, I thought you left without me, the little boy said as he hugged his mom beside the cart. The man in the blue vest walked up then too. Mom, honey, I asked you to follow me to the bathroom so I could change your sister. His mother looked down at him and then hugged him. I thought you heard me. I looked around after I changed her and didn't see you. I went to the fruit snack aisle and you weren't there, his mom smiled. I forgot, the boy said. See, the man with the blue vest said, there was no reason to doubt. She is here, and she is well. Honey, I've never left you anywhere before, have I? His mother asked. No. Well, then I hope you learned something about me today, his mother said, as she looked down at her now non-frantic son. His mom thanked the man in the blue vest as he began to walk away. She even thanked the tall man who made out the call over the radio. But then the boy asked, hey, Mom, can we get some fruit snacks? John the Baptist had this vision of what Jesus was supposed to be like. John the Baptist never realized that somewhere down the road he was going to die. He knew he was making the way. Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. And so Matthew says to us, what makes you think Jesus would leave you? Because you don't see him? Has he ever accidentally left you, or has he ever been abducted by aliens? But Matthew also tells us through this scripture how important it is that we make the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and that's what we really should focus on. Here's John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he dies. And what do we get? A transition into the New Testament. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So Matthew wants us to hear. This isn't written for anyone but us, for the listeners, for the readers. I want you to hear that the Old Testament is gone. Jesus Christ has arrived. You have new life in Christ. And because you don't see him doesn't mean that he left the building. He may be on aisle 15 for all we know, but he's here. He's with us. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen. What you see in the Old Testament, violence and killing and, oh my gosh, how many millions died in what we read in the Old Testament? No more. Jesus says, that's all gone. What phase have we entered? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. Violence has been replaced with love. And all too often, to justify any violence that we have in our world, people will go back to the Old Testament. That's gone. For Matthew, the transition from old to new is one from a violent past to a future of love. Let anyone with ears listen. And therein lies the good news. We are new creatures in Christ. As we move through this Advent season, I hope we are all aware of that which we celebrate. We move toward the day we celebrate the birth of the Lord who brought His love, God's love, to us. If you seek good news, then know the good news is here and has been since the day Christ was born. From the day that John the Baptist baptized Jesus and cleared a path. If we aren't living in the new, then we're living in the past. And I submit to you, to live in the past is not a good thing. John could not see or hear Jesus once he was imprisoned, and because of that, he began to doubt that which he had already seen and affirmed. Is that you? Because you cannot see or hear him, you doubt him? If so, rejoice in this good news. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And that, my friends, is our deliverance. We have been delivered from a violent past to a future of love by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to live. As you leave this sanctuary today, rejoice, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. We are told that again and again and again in the Gospels. Rejoice. Rejoice. This is a day when we light candles. We light a candle of joy. If we're not rejoicing, then why are we here? Why do we look forward to the birth of Jesus if we're not happy about it? When people walk into this sanctuary, if we're sitting here stone-faced, looking like we're bored out of our minds, coming to church, what are people who are visiting going to think? We're here to rejoice. And when we get up and we greet one another, I hear joy. Backpatting, handshaking, hugging, joy. Even the choir, they're joyful. And they should be. Because when they were singing, what I heard was John Cobb clapping and saying, "Hear, hear, what a great job." Joy. That was a man who knew joy. And I hope every one of us knows that kind of joy. Thank you for beautiful music. Thank you for being here. Our joy in celebrating the birth of Christ is coming in 10 days. May you have the most joyful Christmas ever. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you this day, oftentimes we forget that joy. Because we don't see you, we begin to doubt that there is any joy. Because we have loved ones who are lost, we have jobs that are lost, because we have sadness at times, we lose sight of the joy that you brought, the good news that you brought to us. Revive us. Fill us with your Spirit. Remind us that in all these things, you're with us. You love us. And you want nothing but good for us. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.